Welcome to Parents Perspective. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about military children at risk? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has been working with children and military families for a number of years. Dr. Lynette Fraga has been with 0-3, an independent research organization, for 9 years. She's currently director for military projects at 0-3, overseeing several projects committed to supporting the youngest children of military families. Throughout her career, Dr. Fraga has been involved with research, administration, training, and practice in early childhood and mental health. She has been a contributing author and reviewer for various publications to include Infusing Mental Health Supports and Services into Infant and Toddler Environments and Systems of Service Delivery, a synthesis of evidence relevant to young children with or at risk of challenging behavior. Dr. Fraga is also the proud mother of 2 children, an 8-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Dr. Fraga.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Fraga, when we think of troops being deployed, what kinds of situations would put the mental health or well-being of young children at risk?
First, it's important to recognize that very young children do have mental health. They do have social and emotional wellness. And when we're talking about mental health, when we're talking at at-risk behaviors, oftentimes parents and professionals both may not recognize that even the youngest of children do experience and have an emotional life. And so at the very beginning, when we're talking about deployed service members, it's very important for folks to recognize that even the youngest of children are impacted by a separation due to deployment. Thinking about young children struggling with crises is oftentimes very difficult, but even the youngest of children as young as 2 months do sometimes struggle with their own social and emotional wellness and therefore their own mental health. As a mother myself, certainly my relationship with my baby began while I was still pregnant, and how I spoke to my child and I read to my child and I spoke about my child with others, and that relationship begins very, very early. And the voice of the service member parent, for example, the touch of the service member parent when they're soothing them when they're crying as an infant, feeding your child and you're holding them and looking into their eyes, all of those things form the secure base, form the foundation of a child's emotional development. And what we know is that those relationships then are the nurturance. Those are the mediators. Those are how we create healthy development in the youngest of children. And so, yes, separation indeed does impact how a young child takes in their world, since how they take in their world is through those very important relationships and the parent being the first.
So how does parental stress in these circumstances actually affect the young child?
Today, military families are experiencing a great deal of stress. And I think it's important to recognize that at the outset, that there are layers of stress. The multiple deployments, the extended deployments, the inability for some to struggle with single parenthood. It can be financial stress. It can be moving. It could be worry of their service member spouse and the deployment and the circumstances they're in. So I think, again, it's important to recognize that there are many stressors and layers of stress that military families might experience. And as a parent with a very young child, we all know how it is to try and nurture a 2-year-old who's in the middle of a grocery store who decides, I really don't want to be here right now, and may show that through their behaviors and crying and falling out on the floor, perhaps, and all these other kinds of things that we know are typical of very young children. Now layer on the fact that mom is tired, that maybe she has an infant at home, her spouse is deployed. These are layers of stress and stressful experiences. Now, does that 2-month-old or that 4-month-old or that 6-month-old that mom is carrying through the grocery store take in that stress? Absolutely. That's how they experience their world. And so, yes, it is true that young children absorb that stress, take in that stress, and then what can we do about it? It happens in typical, normal, everyday life. We all experience daily stressors. For parents who are experiencing heightened distress, It's important, once again, to recognize that young children are taking in those stressors and that you can and need to take care of yourself. That is so critically important. When we want to create a safe, secure place for our children, we need to create those safe and secure places for ourselves. And many parents do that in many different ways. It really is dependent on what re-energizes you, what gives you the energy to be able to deal with and support a child through tantrums or through difficult sleeping patterns or through their own worry. What gives you that energy? It could be journaling. It could be going for a walk. It could be just some silent time listening to music. It could be getting help, asking for help. And oftentimes, parents are hesitant to ask for help because they feel that perhaps they should be able to do it. I see Sally down the street who's doing a fabulous job and has three children, and I only have two children. If she's doing it, then I should be able to do it. And the fact of the matter is that all of our experiences are so different and so individual, and all of us need to take care of ourselves in order to take care of our youngest of children.
I think that's a very hard thing for American parents to internalize. We've been all brought up by the myth of the frontier person and the bootstraps mentality. And I think also we always think, having been brought up on the television sitcoms where everything ends happily in 30 minutes, that somehow it's all going to work itself out, or at least down the street they work it out. And they don't realize that down the street they may have the grandparents coming in on the weekends or something else to help out.
Absolutely. Give yourself permission to ask for help, and give yourself permission to be challenged in a challenging situation. When you give that permission, just as you would give permission for a very young child struggling with coping with a tough situation, give yourself permission as well and ask for that help. Provide opportunities for that rejuvenation. Provide opportunities for that reflection, because really that is the strength. That is showing a lot of strength when you actually ask for that help. And in return, the children will benefit.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on military children at risk.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Lynette Fraga about military children at risk. We hear of especially young children being pretty resilient. We sort of hope that's true. Is that true?
Let's start at the beginning. What we know is that the brain develops most during the first few years of life. By the age of three, 85% of the core structure of the brain is developed. And if that is true, and which we know is true, then so much happens during those first few years. It's both an opportunity and a challenge. The opportunity lies within the fact that we also know what helps development, what and how children grow and learn about their environment and learn how to learn is through the relationships. So if we provide those nurturing, predictable, supportive, responsive relationships, we then know that the health and development of that baby will grow in such a fabulous and beautiful way. And so children are very resilient. And what supports that and what is key to that resilience is the relationships they have with the important adults in their lives, whether it be the parent, a friend or a caregiver, a grandparent. We have many single service member families as well, where the single service member parent is deployed. And so the grandparent or the friend or the aunt is the individual who is providing that nurturance during that deployment. That person can make a difference. And so if children learn through, and we know that children do learn through the relationships, and if those relationships are secure, and if that child learns how to attach in a healthy way through all of the different ways that relationships are built in a healthy way, then certainly resiliency is definitely there. Every individual child will handle stress differently. And the response of a young child to a service member's deployment is as dependent and independent as that child is, or as that family unit is. How old is the child? when the deployment happened? Was that child 2 or was that child 4 months? Where was that child along his or her developmental milestones? What was that child experiencing? Were they in the midst of separation anxiety when that deployment happened developmentally? Where and how is the parent coping with the stress of deployment? How is the family prepared? All of those things impact how a child does during deployment. And then the individual child's temperament, their personality, are they easy? Are they difficult to soothe? All of those factors and variables play into it. But I tell parents, they know best. They know their children. They know, what do they need? And that is the question to ask. What is he or she telling me when she's crying? What is he or she telling me when she or he doesn't want to eat?
Down to the sort of nitty-gritty of things, I can picture some military families listening to this and saying, well, I know that my spouse is going to be deployed in X number of months. What should we tell the kids and when should we tell them? Are there some guidelines that you could throw out there for anxious parents?
Absolutely. Communication is key. First is to talk to the service member who's being deployed. As a family, the parents need to have a conversation, and or the person who's taking care of the child through the deployment, having that conversation about expectations. A year or 15 months is an awfully long time in a very young child's life. Because we know relationships are the key, staying connected is incredibly important. And so in those preparations, how are we going to stay connected? How can I, as a parent, hold my baby in my mind? And how will you help my baby hold me in his? Because that is going to be the foundation for the return. When that parent, service member, parent comes back, what can we do? We can create photo albums. We can create recordings. We can create videos. We can create photo albums. We can create and talk about a space within which, as a parent and as a child, we can talk about the deployment. Even though a 3-year-old may not have the words to be able to talk to and speak to their experiences, there may be some confusion. Their world is being turned upside down. And so how do we support to help them create a safe and secure place to be? Book reading is a wonderful way of connecting with children. We at 0-3 have a book called Over There. It's a beautiful story about what I'm doing here in my home as a child. What am I doing here? And what is my mom or dad doing over there? So here I'm brushing my teeth. Over there, daddy is brushing his teeth too. And there are pictures of both happening so that that young child can get a sense of where that parent is and where they are. It also creates a space for questions. Sometimes parents feel, well, my child doesn't remember that service member parent, or when I bring him or her up, my child gets upset. That's okay. That's okay. We all have feelings. Creating a safe place for that child to do the same thing. Be safe in expressing sadness, madness, anger, concern, confusion. All of those things are incredibly helpful for the emotional health of a young child. And creating a safe place and a nurturing relationship for that to happen is a true gift for that child.
Are there specific trouble signs to watch for?
There are some signs you can be aware of. Certainly, you may see increased whining and crying, hanging on to your leg as you leave the child care center or the family child care home. The reassurance is needed that you're actually going to come back because dad and or mom left. And what does this mean for me as they're trying to understand object permanence and the permanency of people and of things? You may see sleeping or feeding challenges, maybe not feeding as well as you may have hoped. Again, all of this comes from stress. And so working with your child, being attuned to your child, trying to understand those messages. And also, again, I go back to reaching out for help. If you feel the situation is enough of a challenge, reaching out to your pediatrician, reaching out to other parents, reaching out to mental health and other service providers within your community that may be able to offer some additional information and insight into your particular situation.
When a youngster is in an at-risk situation, what should parents or other family members do?
What needs to happen then is if parents, if professionals, if loved ones, friends, and families can provide predictability, regular bath times, regular story times, those special interactions, maybe every Saturday, there's the walk to the park that continues to happen. Routines and the predictability are a way of a child to bring some control to their lives where they may feel out of control.
It's interesting. I was thinking back when my kids were very little, and when you go into any preschool or kindergarten classroom, there's the chart on the wall. It says circle time at this time and story time at this time. And I used to think, good grief, it's all regimented. But in later years, I realized that every kid needs a sense of what's going to happen when, because their whole world beside that seems quite chaotic.
Absolutely. Parents often hear their children say, so what are we doing next? And then what are we going to do? And then what are we going to do? And that is a sense of, I need to feel control over what's happening. I need to understand about what is happening in the future. They may not understand time necessarily, but it is necessary to try to figure out, is this one child may be incredibly structured and another child may need structure and predictability but has more flexibility in their schedule. And so trying to be as responsive as possible to both, but that predictability breeds security and breeds healthy emotional development.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on military children at risk.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Lynette Fraga about military children in challenging circumstances.
So do you tell the child on the morning that the father or the mother is now going to be driven to the base and be on his or her way? Or do you tell the child a week before, which is like an eternity? What is the best kind of guideline for that?
It is a challenge to try and figure out not only when do I tell my child that my service member parent is leaving, but when do I tell my child when their parent is coming back and coming home? It's both. I think more challenging actually is when the service member parent is coming back. What we know is that the most challenging experiences that military families have is upon homecoming, where you imagine that there would be the celebration, and there is the celebration of homecoming. However, it's also readjustment. It's relearning each other. It's creating a new normal. What had happened and had been the case before has changed. You've changed as a parent. Both parents have changed if they're the two-parent family. The child has changed. The two-month-old is now a walking, talking 15-month-old. The homecoming is actually the most challenging. When do we share this with our children? I would make the suggestion to have, again, that open communication with your children. You may have older children in the family versus younger children. And so having that conversation with that child where they're at developmentally, if they're from a military community, they may have already had these discussions, and often this is not the first deployment for their family. If it's a very young child, talking about daddy coming and going, putting more emphasis on daddy leaving to work and talking about the experiences of coming and going and working together to create special connections. We have families that have created wonderful dolls that have pictures of their daddies on them or their mommies. I know of families who have created special photo albums and special books by way of connection, and have created activities before the service member leaves in preparation for the deployment. And so they're talking about daddy is going to be leaving and or mommy is going to be leaving. Let's put together this photo album. Young children, as I shared earlier, pick up on our emotions. And so even though you may not have said dad is leaving, they know something is changing. I know it's very busy around the house as you're putting your baby to sleep. I know it's very busy around the house, but it's going to be okay. I'm okay and you're okay, and we'll be okay together. Those kinds of words not only calm you in a lot of ways, but that calming tone, that calming and way of being is more important than the words that you say or when you say them.
We watched our one-year-old grandson last week. We were all on vacation together, and he's very much attached to his father right now. So if his father was not in the room and I was playing with him, everything was just fine. And occasionally he would go over to the door, which we had closed, saying, "Daddy, Daddy," and we would say, "Daddy's coming soon." Well, when Daddy walked in the room, there was great glee and great joy, and he jumped into his arms. And then a few minutes later, he looked at him, and he walked across the room and sat down on the floor. And this happened repeatedly and burst into tears, looking right at him, because he was angry that he had had to wait. And it was so obvious because it happened every time that circumstance arose.
Yes.
And what you're saying.
And the ability to be able to provide a space for that to happen, let him cry, let him work it through and support him through that. Talking to him, giving him the words, "I see you're angry. You were angry when Daddy left, and now he's back and you're still angry." It's okay to be angry. It's important for us to have those opportunities to be able to be any way we are. I spoke with some dads about specifically dads in this particular instance who were coming back after being deployed for a little over a year. And they were sharing with me about their apprehension in coming back into the family and that there are opportunities through the military in terms of briefings and supporting the reunification. But they had expressed some concern about, you know, will my child remember me and how will they be? I'm nervous. You know, I'm nervous about what this experience is going to be like. And it will be what it will be. And know that, especially for dads and or moms, when they see their child for the first time, that child may run right up to you and give you a big hug and, you know, be very, very excited about that homecoming. And for other children, they may run away. And they may not have that same experience. And that's okay. It's hard, but it's also okay because what that child's telling you is, "I need a little bit of time, Dad, to adjust to this new change. Can you give me just a little bit of time?" And inevitably, it's a fairly short amount of time when you're getting to know each other again. And that relationship develops and grows in such a wonderful way. And it's those connections, those opportunities, the communication before, the supportive relationships before the deployment, the ability to stay connected through letters and artwork and sharing through the child care center about how much you've grown and sharing measurements and photos, all of those ways that the service member parent who's deployed and the parent or caregiver on the home front work to stay connected will provide a secure relationship when that dad or mom comes home so that when that reunification or that homecoming isn't all that you may have imagined it to be at the very first moments, you know that that relationship and that trust for you to say, "I understand, Johnny, that it's hard for you to give me a hug right now. However, we can do this later. I trust that that will happen." And that empowers the child. My dad knows it's okay, that I can't go there right now, but I will. And that forms the foundation for a secure attachment.
I remember the story of a little girl whose father was on a long business trip, and the little girl must have been a year, very young. Mm-hmm. And it was a long time ago, and in those days, there weren't the same kinds of things where you could keep in touch, and the little girl was told, "This is Daddy. There's a picture of Daddy, and Daddy will be coming home." And finally, Daddy came home. And the little girl didn't know about this Daddy, but she knew there was a picture that was Daddy. And so that's what she knew.
That's right. I have another family who has three little boys, and they went to go pick up Dad, who had been on a 6-month deployment. The 2-year-old stared at the 6-year-old the entire time, trying to pick up on his cues. Is this okay? Is this really the dad I've seen in the pictures? Are you okay with this? And young children rely on the important relationships in their lives to gauge what is okay and what is not okay. And to know, however they respond, you as the important person in their life will be able to be there for them.
Dr. Fraga, we like to leave our listeners with some resources to move on to further information on some of the issues we've discussed. Do you have some suggestions?
I do. Our 0-3 website, I think, is a wonderful opportunity for listeners to gain some articles, some flyers, research, and video about all of the things that we've spoken about today. So I really encourage folks to go to 0-3.org/military.
And all of the suggestions that you have given, I would think, would also have application to families where one parent travels for long periods of time. It would seem to me the same kinds of points.
There are many, many families who experience separations of one kind or another through business travels or other travels. I think the one difference, of course, is the worry attached with a combat-related deployment. As a military child myself and being raised in the military, I had a parent who was deployed. I experienced many different moves. And again, those separations, the differences are in today's context, in the context of wartime, I think provides such a huge layer of stressor. However, many of the basic tenets of what it means to be separated from a parent and how we can support children through that separation certainly can be very similar.
Well, Dr. Lynette Fraga, we are so grateful that you could come and be with us today and help us to understand what to do to help young children in such challenging circumstances.
Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 376 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.